With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Welcome one and all.
Welcome. I brought a bag of serums today.
Oh, yes, you did.
I did. It's a very big bag. I wish I could weigh it because it probably weighs about 10 pounds.
You could weigh it.
Maybe. Wait, I'm going to pass this bag to you, Dori.
Yes.
How much do you, there's also like hair products and stuff in there, but okay. How much do you think that weighs?
Oh, yeah, this is at least 10 pounds. I'm going to do some bicep curls. Whoa. This bag of products.
Yeah, I bought a beautiful bag of products today.
Yeah, because later in the episode, we are going to be talking about
just kind of where we are.
Where we're at with, in product land.
In product land, USA. The United States of Serums? No, that would be wrong. That would be USS.
That would be the USS Serum. We're sailing away on the USS Serum.
On a sea of hyaluronic acid.
Ooh, sounds luscious.
That's right, right? Really yeah. Hydrating your face. Mm-hmm. Dori, how's your week going over there?
You know, my week is going pretty okay.
Because you've been purging up a storm.
Purging up a storm. And I gotta say, I look at my closet now. And it calms me.
Which is not how I feel when I look in my closet. I'm so jealous.
It is very weird. And my dresser also calms me.
How did it feel to actually let go of things that you kind of had been clinging to because they felt like too nice to get rid of? Or you kept telling yourself you were going to one day use them or wear them?
You know, it felt great.
Oh.
Yeah.
No regrets.
None so far. You know, I think a lot of the stuff, and so I did my husband and I did the condo method where you take everything out.
Ugh.
Everything.
This is, we should say, Marie Kondo, who wrote the book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Okay. Who also now has a Netflix show.
Who now has a Netflix show. So everyone has been rediscovering her methods. My mom saw her on Good Morning America and cleaned out her closet.
It's amazing. Marie Kondo is so convincing. It's like, oh, yes. You just see her once and you're like, well, time to purge.
Totally. Well, you know, it's funny because I never bought the book. I was never that excited by it. And then I saw her on TV for like 5 seconds and I was like, oh, yes.
She's right.
She's so delightful. Anyway, so, you know, in all of my purges, I had never actually done that. I'd never taken everything
so you
out.
Actually can see in a physical way what is in there.
Yes, what is in there, and you're really going through everything.
Ugh.
And her kind of philosophy is you're focusing more on what you're keeping, not what you're getting rid of.
Oh, interesting. And it's a lot about
subtle narrative shift,
which you love,
if you will.
You love a reframe.
I love a reframe, and it actually helps.
Well, and also I do think you know, she talks about like, does this item bring me joy?
She says, does this item spark joy? Yes. And you know, people kind of make fun of this,
sure,
but I think in a way it is actually helpful. Because there were a few things, because usually when I purge, my only question is, have I worn this recently? Not does it spark joy, but have I worn this recently? And I took that question out of the equation.
And did you shift to the sparking of joy?
Yes. And it was interesting because a lot of the things that I kept are things that I do wear a lot. But there were a few things that I kept that I don't wear a lot. But I looked at them and I picked them up and I thought, I love this dress or I love this pair of shoes. And it does, this does spark joy for me and I'm going to keep it.
Wow.
So
is that why I saw you maybe last week and you were in shoes I'd never seen before? And I was like, are those new? And you're like, actually, I've had them for a while. They were like cute little pink sneaks.
Oh, yes. My tree torns.
Yeah. Did you come upon those and realize they sparked joy?
Well, I had started wearing them a few weeks ago before this whole process began. But yeah, so they weren't like a recent rediscovery, if you will. But no, it was the whole thing was just really helpful. And also, I think that helped me get rid of a lot of the stuff that has just been sort of living in the back of my closet for like 10 years. Like yeah. A lot of the stuff was old. And I was like, this doesn't spark joy for me anymore. I'm not the person who bought this dress anymore.
Isn't that weird how you change?
And yeah.
I look at old like clothes. I'm holding onto this one dress that my mom bought me in like 2003. I don't know why I'm clinging to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not that person who, like, every time I try it on, well, I mean, I can barely fit into it now, but it's, I'm like, this isn't me anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I have a dress that I bought in eighth grade.
I actually have a couple clothes like that too.
Yeah. And you know what? I was like, I'm going to keep this.
Because it sparked that joy.
It sparked that joy. So that's been great. And Matt also has been doing it and cleared out a lot of stuff and his closet got more organized. And I don't know. We're starting to feel good. We're trying to kind of declutter and get rid of stuff to prepare for the baby. Yeah. So that's been kind of what's been going on over here. How about you?
Well, Dory, in the notes for this episode, I wrote, have I found my Maisie Dobbs?
I got very excited.
Except in my Maisie Dobbs is about fairy fighters who are fighting a war in some sort of alternate universe.
Now, Kate, you mentioned them last week.
I can't stop talking about it.
So you've moved on to another book
There's a series of, I believe, 7 books. Okay. It is the Throne of Glass book series by Sarah J. Moss. And I am now in book 4. And this has only been about like 2 weeks. So I'm
tearing through them.
I'm doing the thing where like I now only exist in this world. Am I almost a half demi-fey assassin? Possibly.
I mean,
with powers of fire. Dory, I'm so involved. I'm so into it. I love it. And I'm starting to get the feeling of like I'm scared when this is going
to
be over.
Yeah, but isn't it so great to just give yourself over to a book like that?
It is, but it's almost like falling in love where you're like, I know this is going to end bad. This is going to end. And do I make myself vulnerable and fall in love with you, book, only knowing that one day this is going to come to an end and I'm going to have to find love again?
Yeah, but I think there's something really powerful in opening yourself up to the possibility of love. You're loving in a way that you didn't know you were capable of.
I didn't know I could love. It's just such a good escape. It's so soothing. I love the adventure. I just love the romance. And also,
this is really like hitting all of your...
It's tapping everything.
Yes.
And I will say this author is merciless in terms of like it's kind of almost Game of Thrones.
I was going to say, it sounds like Game of Thrones.
Like people you don't think are going to die are just like all of a sudden they aren't around anymore. And people who were in love are not.
Well, you know, I think it's good to practice non-attachment.
Well, God, if that's what this is about, then that's where I am. But I'm really just enjoying it. I've had a lot of wonderful dialogue with people over Instagram about it. I now creepily looked at the audiobook narrator's Instagram because I'm, you know, going back and forth. Anyway, I talk about this book in every episode. I've got to stop.
Or do you?
Or do I? Should we?
I talked about Maisie Dobbs for like 3 months.
It's become a pillar of this podcast.
Indeed.
It's a detective in the 1920s. So other than that, Dory, you know what? I kind of went back to meal planning this week.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was out of town for 3 days. I was feeling a little re-energized after the holidays, and I tried to plan. I on Sunday, Both my children went to playdates at other people's homes.
Oh, the dream.
It was like a fucking vacation. And my husband had left for New York City that morning. So I was alone with the dog. And I like cooked chicken in the Instant Pot. I roasted potato. I was just like prepping away. I made our meal. It was so weirdly productive too. Normally I'm not particularly productive as a person. But I just was like, I'm on fire.
Yeah.
So I made this meal plan. And what I'm trying to do is find things that like I want to eat that my kids want to eat. It's a constant journey. I had one really successful meal.
What was it?
I made steak, green beans, and then I cut up russet potatoes and like baked them into like kind of steak fry.
Ooh, yum.
And my kids were like, I don't like these. And then they ate them all. and they loved that meal. And then last night I made garlicky shrimp with rice.
Ooh.
That was rejected.
Okay.
I liked it.
All right.
So, but I'm just trying to kind of find things that we can, like a middle ground. And the other thing is that I am kind of doing like my own made up Whole 30-ish.
Uh-huh.
I did just have a cup of coffee with heavy cream in it here at your sure home. Did. So I'm obviously not sticking to the tenets of non-dairy, but I am just trying to like eat some foods that are making me feel good.
But you know what? I feel like if you're going to have dairy, it's better to have full fat dairy.
And I love full fat dairy.
You know, I could go on a whole sidebar about how we have all been brainwashed by the skim, by big skim milk.
Big skim.
By big skim.
Big bidet and big skim.
Skim milk is a scam.
It's just water.
Here's the thing. Whole milk is 3% fat.
Okay.
Skim milk is zero. Then you have 1% and 2%. Mm-hmm. You're saying you can't have 3% fat? Calorie-wise, it's not that much of a difference. And skim milk has so much sugar in it. Skim milk is not healthy, people. Stop drinking skim milk.
You have all been brainwashed by big skim
you
milk.
You have been brainwashed by big skim. Drink whole milk.
Oh my gosh, guys.
I've also been eating Faye yogurts.
The whole milk version is so much better.
5%.
That's the one I always get because it tastes so much better.
And again, like, not that I really look at calories or care about calories, but I know some people, that's how they justify buying the like 0%. The calorie difference is like 30 calories. Like, we're not talking about a big difference here.
No, I'm with you. And it
tastes so much better and they fill you up.
But I will say, as someone who we have layers and layers and years of being told
what's
healthy and what's not. And it is very hard for me mentally.
Yes.
To like break, to not just like reach for the light sour cream at the grocery store.
1,000%
and
agree.
I know it's just all programming.
Yeah.
And I know it's not like, it's
also
not-
we were teenagers in the 90s, the heyday of low fat, disgusting eating.
Do you remember the potato chips made with
that made you
make
diarrhea.
You shit your pants? Yeah. I definitely.
Alestra,
that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. Snack wells.
Oh, you ate snack wells by the box. They were disgusting.
My dad ate something called Frookies, which were fruit cookies. Frookies. He had like high cholesterol and that's what he would eat.
What was wrong with us?
I don't know, but it's not, you know, people are just trying to live their best lives.
I get it. I said that facetiously.
No, I'm with you. I mean, also in 20 years, is everyone going to be like, keto, LOL, you know,
but you know, it makes me sad when I go to my parents' house and they have skim milk. My dad eats frozen yogurt, like 0% fat frozen yogurt that tastes like nothing. It's all artificially sweetened. I'm like, this is not actually healthy.
I don't think so either.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Dory's TED Talk on big skim and why we should all be having more fat in our diets. Well, but I will tell you, like, I want food to be like a joyful, loving thing that I make and I feel. And I'm just trying to really reevaluate my relationship and dissect the layers.
Yeah.
Because it's so heavy for me. I'm sharing this in, I don't want to say like a vulnerable way, but I am not great at it. Like, you know, like I am working hard on my own personal body positivity, but it's also a real struggle.
Yeah. It's really hard.
So I don't know.
for me, I think actually being pregnant has kind of helped with this.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah. Because for the first time as a woman in our society, I have been given permission by the world to eat whatever I want.
Well, and you know what the kind of weird thing about being pregnant is that I had this conversation so many times where it's like, are you just eating up a storm?
Yes, well, I was just going to say, and it's kind of sick.
It's sad,
the
right?
way how many women have sort of like the look in their eyes is sort of desperate and envious of like, what have you been eating? And it's like, this is so sad that like pregnancy is the one time we give ourselves permission to eat what we really want to eat.
Well, and then the awful experience I found is that the pressure to somehow change your body back after giving birth to a human.
Yeah.
Is so intense.
Like instantaneously.
Yeah. Never acknowledging the fact that if you've given birth, either a baby's come out of your vagina or a surgical hole in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And those are big things to recover from. Your exhaust. I mean, look, we are really on a rip here.
Who knew we felt so passionately about this?
Well. But anyway, I mean, I think this would actually be an interesting topic for further discussion.
Yes,
because,
I agree.
It's hard being a person, Dory. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's take a short break.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there. Especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
So,
as promised,
yes, we are here to talk about some products.
Just kind of revisiting. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the list. We have one in common. We have a couple in common. You don't know it yet, but we do.
Wait.
The Biossance squalane.
Oh, but that's not on your list.
I know. I didn't put it. Well, Dory, when I was packing the bag, I made kind of a short list. And then I was in my bathroom packing up my bag of products to bring to your house for this podcast recording. And I was like, can't forget this. Can't forget this. Can't forget this. And so that's how I ended up with approximately 20 pounds of beauty products.
Okay.
I would say this is about the weight of a one-month-old baby. So maybe 11 pounds.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know why I'm obsessed with how much my bag of products weighs, but it's just, it's very hefty.
So what's your first product?
Okay. So we're not going to go through everything in here.
Okay.
Because
okay,
again, there's probably 13 things crammed and we have a couple repeats. So I'll let you talk about some of the faves.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. So here's a new purchase from Target.
Great.
Kristen S.
Mm.
Her sea salt air dry spray.
People love Kristen S.
Who is she? I don't know.
She's a lady who makes hair products.
Well, look, I was attracted to the sleek bottle and the affordable price. And
how much was it?
Well, good question. I don't remember, but I remember being like, ooh, I want that. And it doesn't feel too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you complimented me on my hair today.
I sure did.
And I used this last night.
Uh-huh.
So this is a sea salt spray for texture. And I used it in damp hair. Last night, I said that very strangely. I used this in damp hair last night.
May I?
Yes, you may. And then I will tell you a trick I did that I learned from Jackie Johnson of Natch Butte, who I believe learned it from Jonathan Van Ness. I took my damp to dry hair, put it in a scrunchie, pulled it through, and then pulled it through again so that it was kind of bent, like kind of a really loose floppy bun. And I slept like that. I didn't dry my hair. This is the only product in it, and it gave my hair like real body and wave.
I like the wave.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you look great.
Dory, here's something I've been using every day.
Uh-huh.
So Aveeno very generously sent us some dry hand care products.
Yes.
And I will tell you, this is not one of them. I went out and purchased this on my own. Or actually, I made my husband get it for me. when he went to go buy Pedialyte for our vomiting child. Aww. I was like, also my hands are dry. And he got me this Aveeno skincare hand cream in intense moisture, using it every night before bed.
Oh, and you had not been a hand cream person.
No, but I am like newly converted.
Now you get it.
I see the importance. Mm-hmm. My hands were just feeling so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I really do look forward to the moment at night where I put this on. And also, I will tell you, sometimes I do it two times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Living on the edge.
Here's what I'm washing my face with.
Okay.
Which is a Courtney Chisano recommendation.
Uh-huh.
And I actually kind of brought my like morning routine.
Okay.
And I'll run through that and then I'll switch it over to you. Emergencies kombucha cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
This is I'm passing it to Dory.
May I?
It's a very just light, gentle face cleanser that I am really into.
So you wash your face in the morning?
I do, or I use my micellar water. I'm really feeling like I need it.
It smells boochy.
Does it? Could you take a sip of it?
Boochy, boochy, boo. Yeah.
So I'm really liking that. Then I'll follow up with like a spritz of toner. I'm using the stuff that our friends on the Breaking Beauty podcast gave us.
Oh, yeah.
Faced Food Mineral Mist, or I've been using this Ursa Major spray. And then I use a vitamin C serum, also by Emergency. Then I follow up with the Squalane Probiotic Gel Moisturizer, which is also on your list, by Biosance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use a couple drops of the Vintner's Daughter that the very nice people at Vintner's Daughter sent to me. And I love it. Just an added oomph. Two other products I'm really into right now. Then I'm going to shut my pie hole. Ursa Major deodorant.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Look. I will always try a new deodorant.
And they sent this to us.
Yeah, this was also a sent, not a sent, scented, received, a generously gifted. Received, gifted, not purchased. Ursa Major Hop and Fresh deodorant with mint and eucalyptus. I am obsessed with how this smells. Obsessed. Now, I will happily let you smell it, although you might get some whiffs of my own armpits on there. It's so good. I love it. It's just like a clean, delicious scent. I love it. I've been using that every day. Dory, I'm officially into tubing mascara.
It took you a minute.
I'm never going. I will say, I did try one of our sponsors, Hourglass, sent us their mascara, and I loved it. But I am now also sucked into the world of tubing mascara because it's so much easier to get off at the end of the day.
Mm.
And I, based on listener recommendations, bought the L'Oreal Double Extend Beauty Tubes Mascara, and it's great.
Oh, okay. Because we had both bought the Blink.
We both bought the Blink.
And we were both sort of meh on the Blink.
I felt like by the end of the day, all of it was gone.
Mm.
But this stays on.
Okay.
So I am very into it. And then I will say the last thing that I am really loving right now is the Glossier You perfume.
Mm.
I waited until their November sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I had purchased this after I had loved a sample. And I wear this every day. I freaking love it.
It's a lovely scent.
I just think it's so like clean. I feel like it would smell good on anybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of just works. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
This is a lot of stuff, I realize. I hope I didn't.
I'm impressed that you're like, I feel like your morning routine is quite elaborate.
Do you think? It takes me 2 seconds. It's just like wash, spritz, serum, moisture, Vintner's. I don't even know if that's the right order, but I could go Vintner's moisture. I just kind of make it up as I go along.
Do you use a sunscreen?
Oh, of course, Dory.
Okay.
I just didn't include that because it changes. Like today it was in my primer. Often I use just like a plain sunscreen, but today it was in this primer that I used. So I just went with that.
Okay.
But always a sunscreen, never without.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make that clear.
That to me, it's like brushing your teeth.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are kind of, oh, and can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
I have visited Skin Laundry twice. And I talked about this on her Instagram stories. Per Eva Chen's recommendation, she mentioned it on the pod, and I'm kind of into it.
What does it do exactly?
I don't know.
Okay.
They blast your face with first a laser that goes kind of deep into the cleansing out, and then an IPL, which is the light, which I think kind of does like a surface level cleansing. And just for like, they tell me they have people who come like once a week to get this done. The price point for me, it's not something I can sustain once a week, but I wanted to try it because Eva had mentioned it and it's available in a lot of cities. So I figured like, well, our listeners might, this might be an option for them. Why don't I guinea pig my face? And for me, it does not replace, like, I love going to get a full facial.
Yeah.
And I love seeing Courtney, who's fantastic. So it's not a replacement for that for me, but it is kind of just like a nice boost.
I like that.
So yes, I've been trying that out.
Okay.
So there you go. That's where I'm at in terms of what I'm into right now.
Great.
Tell me, take me on your journey.
So I was similarly inspired by Eva Chen, but not to do skin laundry.
What path did you go down?
I was inspired to buy reusable organic bamboo face pads.
Where did you purchase these?
On ye old Amazon.
Oh, ye old Amazon.
Ye old Amazon Shoppy.
That old country store?
Yeah, that old little country store.
Mom and pop shop.
Yep. No, I had been, you know, I am trying to sort of gradually become less wasteful. It's a journey.
It is. It's hard.
And I was like, oh, I use a lot of cotton rounds.
Now that you say this, I'm evaluating how many I use.
Yeah.
A ton.
And I was like, and Eva mentioned using reusable ones. And I was like, let me just try these and see how I like them. They're not that expensive. I think it was like, I don't know, $12 to $15 for a pack of like, I think they gave you 2 weeks worth. So and like 14.
These are regular size cotton rounds.
They're a little bigger.
And do you just throw them into the laundry?
So they send the ones I bought, and I think most of them are like this. They came with a little mesh bag. So I have the bag hanging on like a drawer pull. And whenever I use one, I just drop it in a little baggie. And then I put the, at the end of the week, I put the little baggie in my laundry bag.
Could you use one side like in the morning and then flip it and use the other side at night? Like, or is it a one-time use kind of thing? Or can you get two uses out of it? Like how my grandmother used to use one tea bag.
I just do one in part because I often use both sides in one go.
Is this a makeup removal tool?
It's a makeup removal tool. It's a micellar water. Someone told us that we were pronouncing this wrong, but now I forget how to say it.
Micellar? Micellar.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
M water.
My cellar. Maybe that is how you say
it. Maybe it is.
I use it for that. And if I'm wearing particularly like stubborn mascara, sometimes I'll put some eye makeup remover on one, like specific eye makeup remover, and just give it a little go. But I actually really like them. And they wash pretty well. Like pretty much everything has come out of the pads.
That's great.
And yeah, and I just feel, I'm feeling better about not wasting so much. And it's not like, I don't think it's any extra laundry for me to do. It's not like I do a special wash with
right,
them.
Right,
like I
just, your water usage.
Yeah, I just throw them in with the load that I'm doing. So I am a fan.
I might have to get some of those.
Yeah, I recommend. Okay. So Wander Beauty recently sent us some products.
I brought this product in my giant bag.
And I am a big fan of their On the Glow Blush and Illuminator.
This is that like stick thing, right?
It is a stick.
It's great.
On one side, it is a blush, like a stick cream. It's not exactly a cream because it's in a stick.
I think you could call it it's a hard cream.
It's a hard cream, yes.
that's not the official
blush,
term.
And then the other side is more of like an illuminator. And it illumines.
It's gorgeous.
It illuminates. I really like it. I had been using the product from the company that rhymes with Bossier that everyone loves, that I like, but I actually like this better.
I really like this too.
Yeah.
And I was using the Milk highlighter, mm-hmm. which I'm a big fan of, but mm-hmm. this is nice.
Yeah. And their stuff doesn't have like parabens or phthalates or any of that
crap.
And the
crap. Size of it is yes. great. Like just the, that sounds so weird, but like the way it fits in your hand, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. So, you know, I didn't list as many products as you because I feel like I don't try as many products as you. And a lot of the stuff that I feel like I've talked about before is stuff that I'm still using.
I tend to kind of really, you know, I'm what's the word? Polyamorous with my products?
That's fine.
You tend to be more monogamous.
I am a serial monogamist.
When it comes to
skincare.
When
it comes to skincare. So, you know, my morning routine is still the CoQ10 serum.
Is it really?
Yeah, I still use it.
Fascinating.
I will occasionally use a vitamin C serum as well. Like I got the Mad Hippie vitamin C serum and I like it.
But it's not a regular, you're not a vitamin C everyday person.
I'm not a vitamin C everyday. I would like to use more vitamin C. And I was actually, I had been thinking recently that I might start layering. Like I might put the vitamin C on first, let it really soak in, and then put the CoQ10 on over it.
Is there a science to like the timing of things? Like, are you supposed to let stuff soak for a few minutes into your skin?
I think there are like different schools of thought on this.
We can ask an expert.
Yeah, I believe for certain things, yes. And I think for other things, it doesn't matter. Like, I think when you're putting on moisturizer and oil, you can like mix them. So it doesn't matter if you like let one sink into your skin. Does that make sense? So, and then this is actually relatively new. I did start using the Biossance Squalane and Probiotic Gel Moisturizer, which was recommended to both of us by former Forever 35 guest and Emily? Friend of the pod, Emily Gould.
Yes, thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. I will, in my gym bag, I have a little travel size of the Dr. Jart water gel, which is what I'd been using prior to getting the Biossance, which I still like, but the Biossance it's a little like cleaner, doesn't use quite as many. The Dr. Jart is not as clean beauty as you would kind of want it to be. I like their products, but it still has some stuff in it. And then on top of that, and this is something that I mentioned once in a newsletter, but I don't believe I've talked about it on the podcast. It is a Japanese sunscreen.
I want this.
Biore UV Aqua Rich Watery Essence SPF 50+/PA++++.
That is official.
It's great sunscreen. It's really good sunscreen.
Oh, you are emphatic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like I've tried a lot of sunscreens.
Yeah.
I was into the Misha sunscreen for a while, and I think this Biore stuff blows it out of the water.
Well, hello.
It goes on really smoothly. I think the sun protection is better. It's great. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it a few other places. It's a little hard to find, though, because it's not generally sold. Like, it's only imported, kind of. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. But it's not that expensive, and I really, really, really like it. So that's my third product in the morning. I don't wash my face in the morning. I stopped washing my face in the morning.
You micellar water it with your
Oh. I do nothing.
You do nothing. Mm-hmm. Now that is cool. So you just put on moisturizer and sunscreen in the morning?
I put on
CoQ10
moisturizer, sunscreen. If I shower in the morning, I'll like splash some water on my face, but I usually don't wash it because I think that it was drying out my face.
You might be right.
So
your skin looks fantastic.
Why, thank you. Excuse me. So the other thing that I'm just going to mention,
let's just say it.
I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off and say it. My husband got me a very generous and thoughtful present for Christmas.
He really listened.
He really listened to when I had said months ago that I was intrigued by the Dyson hairdryer, but I could never bring myself to spend $399 on a hairdryer because that's insane.
Does that come with a lifetime warranty?
It should come with like...
like it should also vacuum?
Yes. Like it should do like 10 other things. But in fact, it only dries your hair. And so for Christmas, he was like, well, I remembered you said that was never something you would get for yourself. So...
Wowie zowie.
I got it for you. And I was like, oh, there are good men in the world.
Yeah, you married one.
This hair dryer is pretty great. I'm not going to lie.
What makes it stand out from an average hairdryer, in your opinion, in your expert opinion as a person with hair?
Look, I'm no product engineer. I don't know how they do it. But there's something about the way the air is sort of concentrated and blasted onto your hair that just, like, it dries it quicker. It dries it more smoothly. it comes with three different attachments. So one is for like general styling, one is for like very directed styling, and then one is a diffuser. And it has three speeds and three temperatures, and then you can also have it blast cold air. I think it's a really good product.
So if someone is a hair fan, like a person who's really invested in hair care products.
And I should also say, I tried the Revlon.
My lover.
Yes, that so many people love. I could not get it to work for me.
Yeah.
I felt like it made my hair look flat. It just didn't do it for me. With the Dyson, it's not, you don't have an attached brush, so you still have to use your own brush. So I use a round brush, but I really feel like it gives me like blowout. Like it's like I went to Drybar.
Which is a blowout hair salon.
I used it for the first time when we went, I brought it to Las Vegas when we went there over the holidays.
Well, it's also like, it's tiny. It's not huge, like, you know, we're used to these like giant, you know, VHS video camera style hair dryers.
Totally. So look, all I'm saying is if you have the means, if you get, maybe you get a lot of blowouts and you think, oh, actually, I could probably do this myself. You can.
I mean, some people do blow dry their, you know, that is a part of their routine, their hair routine.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I endorse this hair dryer.
We did have a lot of listeners write in asking if you ever got it. So it is exciting that you actually did.
I did. I was very surprised by this gift. I was genuinely surprised.
Were
by
you
this
really?
Gift. Yes. I had no idea who was going to buy this for me. I mean, what an indulgence.
And also just like to have a partner pay attention to the hair dryer you want. That's a
And to like remember that.
Yeah.
He does listen.
Good work.
Good job, Matt.
Oh boy. Dory, it's fun to hear what kind of catch up on our products.
Yeah.
And
I've
also
missed this.
I have to. But also just to know, like, you have found what's working for you.
I pretty much have, I think. You know, I will switch things up occasionally. But like in general, I feel like I've found what's working for me. You know what I had been thinking? I'd used up all of my Biologique Recherche products.
Whoa. Did you make a different choice?
And I didn't rebuy them, in part because you can't use P50 when you're pregnant.
Right.
And that's kind of the cornerstone of the Biologique Recherche. But I'm finding myself missing their serum.
Well, interesting.
And I might go back and buy some more of their serum.
Can you use the serum when pregnant?
You can.
That's interesting that's what you miss, because you've been such an ambassador for P50.
I know. And now I'm like, you know, I think the serum was actually also really good. Yeah, I mean, it's also possible that back in the day I was using P50 too much. I was using it like every day, which I think is too much. I think I was over exfoliating.
Well, you know,
just putting that out there.
That's all right. We all do things. We all over exfoliate something once in a while.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Should we take a short break?
Let's do it.
Okay.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some
beautiful,
gorgeous planters, and then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Our guest today is Anne Helen Peterson. Welcome. I'm going to call you, even though I call you Annie, I'm going to call you Anne Helen for the purposes of this interview.
Okay. All right. That's okay. Okay. It's going to be weird, but I'll get over it.
Okay, great. Anne Helen Peterson is an author and senior culture writer for BuzzFeed News, where she writes about culture, celebrity, and feminism. She received her PhD from the University of Texas and is the author of Scandals of Classic Hollywood and Too Fat, Too Slutty, Too Loud. She is based in Missoula, Montana. Welcome, Anne Helen.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I feel like I'm talking to celebrities, like all of my friends my age. They're like, do you know this podcast, Forever 35? And I'm like, I do know this podcast.
That's very nice. Very flattering.
Well, you have been a requested guest for a while, so you're definitely on our list, but you kind of vaulted to the top of our list with an article that has gone mega vi as
whoa, is that what they say?
That's
now,
what
Dory?
They say it. Well, that's what we say. We said at BuzzFeed.
Mega vi.
Mega vi. called How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation, which was really trenchantly observed and thoughtful and made a big impact.
And then quickly followed up by another piece that included quotes from different readers who had written into you called Here's What Millennial Burnout Is Like for 16 Different People, which I thought was incredibly informative and a great follow-up to your original piece.
Yeah, I'm intended the essay to be like kind of a personal essay, you know, not to be the phenomenon that it became. Like I really thought like, oh, I think this would be kind of well, you know, because millennials are BuzzFeed's target demographic. But I think that when it did get bigger, like one of the things that I immediately wanted to do was try to like decenter my white middle class bourgeois experience as like the millennial experience, because obviously that's how a lot of talk about millennials has been for so long is really based on like white middle class people when the experiences are so broad. But one thing about like talking about burnout that struck me, like the responses that I received, is they have cut across class and race lines and all sorts of other things. People are like, this absolutely articulates what I'm feeling. Like, here's specific ways in which it worked a little differently for me, but like you hit like the, you know, you went straight down the middle with us, and that gives us the beginning of the conversation that we continue to have.
So for people who haven't read the article, do you want to just kind of give a quick backgrounder on what you talk about?
Yeah, totally. Basically, in around like late November of last year, I was trying to figure out why there were these tasks that were on the bottom of my to-do list. Really pretty simple tasks, like the ones that I keep talking about are like, I bring my knives to get sharpened, bring my shoes to the cobbler, and like mail a package and respond to a couple of emails from like people who I really like in my inbox. And I just could not bring myself to do them. Mm-hmm. Like I was being very efficient in these other parts of my life, and I could not get that bottom half of my to-do list done.
Yeah.
And so
can I just say, like, as someone who has been your editor and been your colleague, it was very interesting for me to read this, because this is not at all how I perceive you, which is, you know, you go into this in the piece, but, you know, you've always been so hardworking and so focused. And so it was fascinating for me to kind of see this other side of you that seemed totally different. And yet, as you point out, is connected to your sort of type A, very driven personality.
Yes, totally. So what happened, and I think this is what a lot of people are responding to, is that like I was giving my very best and most focused self to work, right? Like work is always the number one thing, like goes over into all of these other quadrants of my life, is trying to optimize myself to do my very best work for work. And so as I was trying, I was going to just write an essay about like Aaron paralysis, like trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And as I read more and talked to people who, know things about this sort of thing, like psychologists and people who actually work on burnout, I was like, oh, I think I have burnout. And I had very adamantly denied that I had burnout, because to me, the way I had thought of burnout was like, after you work really, really hard for a little while, like you get to this pinnacle of burnout and then you collapse, and then you have to like go through recovery that usually involves like going to a beach. And then you can go work again.
Right. Have your eat, pray, love experience.
Yes. And to me, because I was still working and I felt fine, I'm putting in air quotes, like I couldn't have burnout. Mm-hmm. And I had taken some time. Like I had like after the election, I had been doing a lot of political reporting. I had like taken a couple of days off and that sort of thing. But it just became clear to me. I was like, oh, maybe I'm thinking about this entirely the wrong way, which is burnout isn't like something that you go to and recover from. It's more like my baseline experience, and all the things that are creating that baseline experience are things that are very shared with other people in my generation, and like with people on kind of the edges of our generation, as Dory has called it, the Generation Catalano. So I just started reading a lot about burnout then, and then like figuring out all of the different things. Usually my story is kind of like the through line that had taught me, both as a child and a teen and a student and a grad student especially, how I should be working all the time and constantly optimizing myself, and also just kind of thinking of my whole life as a to-do list, and then how just dispiriting that is. Like it just feels really sad and flat. But maybe if I start thinking of it differently, right, like I don't have a solution, but maybe if I actually recognize the condition as burnout, like as my base temperature, then I can start to make some decisions that maybe make me feel like more of a human.
I mean, it really resonated with me personally, because, you know, I left BuzzFeed almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was unhappy for a long time, but it took me mm-hmm. a really long time to realize that I was actually burned out. And yeah. For me, it manifested in kind of work paralysis. Like I would stare at the computer and be like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? And that was a scary feeling for me, because I'd never had that experience before. I was like, what is happening?
Right.
But I think I was actually just burned out. And then when I left, yeah. it did feel like, oh, this weight had kind of been lifted.
How long did it take you, though, to feel like that?
To feel like the weight had been lifted?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a couple months.
Yeah.
And at first I kind of channeled I reorganized my office and, you know, I kind of channeled that energy into these like mega productive quote unquote tasks, because I needed to stay productive. And it was just really interesting to read your piece kind of in light of my own experience.
Yeah. And I think that like, especially for us as writers, you need to like constantly be trying to find your next story.
Yes.
There's this misconception that I think a lot of people have about writers and reporters, which is that like our editors are constantly telling us what to write about.
Yeah.
Whereas the emphasis is much more on us to like find the next thing. And in order to do that, you have to be interested in things. Mm-hmm. So I think that I had that same experience kind of post-election. I was like, I don't know what to be interested in.
Yeah.
You know? And it's very frightening, really. And I think that there's often times, and people have told me this in their feedback, like, you're like, am I depressed? Like, mm-hmm. am I, you know, what is it? What am I failing at? And I think that, like, sometimes it's hard for us as Americans, especially, like, just with the cult of individualism and how we oftentimes think of problems as our own fault instead of the results of like outside factors or systemic factors. It's just hard to think of it as something that might, you know, it's not a personal failing.
Can we talk a little bit about the relationship between social media and burnout? Because that was a really interesting point I think you brought up that resonated with me personally, about how watching other people, I'm going to quote you, watching others live their seemingly cool, passionate, worthwhile lives online. And while we know it's not real, we still are judging our lives against them. And it does seem like, you know, I've gone through a burnout experience before, both career-wise and as a parent. And it does seem like most of the people that we're looking at online, whether they're our peers or like an influencer with 200,000 followers, are existing in a space where burnout is not part of their lives. So, yes. And it only just kind of contributes to making you feel not just more, I've experienced this depression, but also why am I this way? And I'm curious what you kind of found about that relationship between social media and people going through a burnout experience.
Yeah, I feel like I've never seen, or I rarely see people who are writing about social media and criticizing it or criticizing the relationship or even just talking about dynamics. I feel like they've never really actually pinpointed what is so sad about a lot of our relationship with social media, which isn't that, like, I don't go through and I'm not like, oh my God, like, Dory has the best clothes. Like, I want Dory's clothes. I mean, I do want Dory's clothes, but you know what I mean? It's not that, like, simple, aspirational component of objects. To me, it's more holistic life. So, like, sometimes, like, I have a friend who sometimes will comment, like, I want your life on Instagrams of mine. And what you're expressing is that appearance of balance, right? That appearance of you work hard and you play hard. Like, mm-hmm. you spend time outside and you spend time with your kids. Like, that performance of balancing and lack of burnout is what seems really aspirational. For me, like, the thing that always would make me sad when I scroll was, like, other people spend more time with their friends than I do. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even just, oh, I wish I had friends. Like, I do have friends. It's more, I've been working too hard and too intensely to, like, take out this time to spend with my friends. But then there's also, too, and I think this gets to, like, the thing about influencers, that oftentimes we get in this trap of, like, am I enjoying this or am I pretending to enjoy this for the Instagram? Like, do I want to go to this place or do I want to take a photo of it so I can show that I've been to this place? Which sucks the joy out of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very confusing experience right now with social media kind of influencing how we lead our lives. And I think you bring up this point again, about like the aspirational boxes of domestic work and how, like you said, mm-hmm. outings should be experiences, food should be healthy and homemade and fun, you know, bodies should be sculpted, like just this experience that even these things that are like, you know, chores, they still should be like fun and meaningful for everybody and for our kids. And it just, but it's not really that way for most people in their actual lives.
And it hasn't yeah. been that way Never. In previous generations.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I think about, like, how much work a lot of the parents I know take in trying to make, like, meaningful experiences for their kids. Like, mostly my mom just, like, pushed me outside and was like, go make me to yourself. You know? Like, she wasn't, mm-hmm. there wasn't so much of this, like, feeling that you had to, like, continue to have magical experiences with their kids. Like, the thing about when you plan something is that the magic gets sucked out of it a lot of times. But in order to make the thing happen, to make things happen in our lives, we're so overworked and we're so overscheduled. Like, you have to schedule things that would otherwise hopefully would be spontaneous. So whether that's fun or fun with kids or sex or whatever.
Well, and I think you make a good point that the kind of self-care industry only contributes to this feeling of burnout. Like, if I don't use my one of the many meditation apps that are offered to me, let's say, then I'm not successfully relaxing or self-caring or, you know, trying to help myself.
Yeah. Or when self-care yeah. becomes just another thing you have to check off on your to-do list. Like,
yeah. or perform yeah, for social perform. Media.
Yeah. I mean, we feel yeah. this.
We feel it, yeah. and dare we say we do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that you have the paragraph in your piece about how our personal spaces should be optimized just as one's self and career, and that much of self-care isn't care at all is really true. And I think that's something right. that we've, you know, we've wrestled with on the podcast too.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think like you, this is why I like the Facebook group so much, is because I think people are really, you know, they're always kind of self-interrogating this idea. And for me personally, like, I discovered serums like everyone else in the last 2 years, but like, and my skin has never been clearer, but at the same time, now I'm like, cause I use Drunk Elephant, and I'm like, I just need to find replacements for my Drunk Elephant. But like, so I feel this pressure to find cheaper replacements, but like, do I care that much about my face? Like, I just, you know, like, there's that tension of like, do I actually need to spend money? Like, am I going to feel guilty if I get this, if I stop right. using Drunk Elephant?
Right.
Like, I have optimized my face, so now I need to continue to optimize it forever.
Right. And then there's this pressure of like, you always want better skin, no matter how good your yes. skin is. It's like, well, I could be more glowy. I could, you know, and it's like, when does it end?
Yeah. Yeah. I spent my entire teen and adult life like grappling with acne. Like, I should be freaking thrilled that I don't have this right now. And instead I'm like, well, I need to get rid of some of those age spots. Like, what's the next thing I need to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. It just feels like you're eternally striving for this ideal that doesn't actually exist, or maybe yeah. only exists in like on Gwyneth Paltrow.
And if you never reach like completion, there's not catharsis.
Yes.
And that's like so many things in our lives, right? Like, you never finish reading the news. Like, it's not like you can, like, our parents used to read newspapers, right? Like, and you would finish the news and then you'd be right. like, oh, I read the newspaper.
Right. And you like, do it again tomorrow.
Well, it's also like our, like, the endless scroll of the internet has taken over our entire lives. Mm-hmm. Like, our lives are an endless yes. scroll.
Yes. Like, I'm never going to, actually, so I have an Instagram account for my dog. And, she only follows two people, me and my partner. So when I'm on her Instagram account, very often it will say, you've seen all the posts, right?
Wow.
And
yeah.
I'm like, wow, amazing. Like, there is an end.
Totally.
You know? Like,
totally.
It feels great.
I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about some of the experiences that people shared with you, especially people in marginalized communities, because I do feel like, you know, all three of us talking identify as, I'm making assumptions here, but hetero, you know, cis, straight, white women. And mm-hmm. I do think that the experience of burnout is different for people of color, for lesbian, transgender, bisexual, queer people. So I'm curious, immigrants. So I'm curious, what kind of feedback have you gotten, and what kind of stories have people shared that, you know, that differ from ours as white ladies?
Yeah, I think that, like, so if we think of this burnout as just like the weight of living in society, right? And if you think, like, yes, of course, it's hard for me right now as like an able-bodied white straight person. And then you add in the things that, like, just an everyday awareness of, like, okay, so I think I'm tired. Like, what if, you know, as a disabled person, you also had to just, like, battle your body every single day to try to do the things on your mm-hmm. to-do list? And that when you are most efficient, when you're doing the most, oftentimes that's also the worst for your body and the worst for your health, right? Because, like, doing more as a disabled person is actually worse. So you have that, like, extra thing on top of everything else. Or, like, we just published another follow-up piece on BuzzFeed by this woman named Kiana Clark. And she writes about, like, what, you know, if you think, like, the weight of commuting, right? And that's hard for you maybe as a white person. But, like, as a Black woman or as a Black man, like, every time I get in the car, I'm thinking about, I don't want to get pulled over because yeah. I don't know what the interaction with the police is going to be like. So that additional mental load of navigating America as a person of color, as a queer person, as a disabled person, like, that just adds on to that incredible labor of just surviving every day.
I thought this one person wrote in, and again, I'm quoting, they said, as a first generation immigrant, the burnout is hell sometimes. On top of everything else, you have this constant guilt of never being enough for this country. So you have to yeah. excel. You have to constantly prove yourself as a worthy person to be here and occupy space. And that just yeah. really resonated with me and stuck out to me.
Yeah, just like trying to think of, like, you know, not just disappointed, like, I'm, you know, I'm trying not to disappoint my parents or my partner or my bosses, that sort of thing. But I'm not thinking of, like, you know, no one's going to tell me, oh, you don't deserve to be in this country because you're not working hard mm-hmm. enough.
Right.
Yeah. No one's going to judge me, my entire race, because of my behaviors, if that makes sense. So, yeah, it's a lot. And I think that, like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't think a burnout Olympics is, like, is useful. But at the same time, you can still, like, really work to recognize the ways in which it works differently without mm-hmm. discounting, like, that doesn't mean that I'm not experiencing burnout, acknowledging right. how other people's burnout is different.
Right. And what do you think we can do individually and kind of culturally to make a shift?
Yeah, I mean, the overthrow of capitalism, this is like the go-to.
yeah,
but I think
working on it.
Apart from that, one of the things that people have told me in their feedback and that I have experienced as well is that even just giving a name to it is incredibly liberating.
Yeah.
It just, like, it lifts the shame when you feel like you have a diagnosis for why you felt the way that you do. Because there is this disconnect of, like, we should be happy, right? Like, this is what a lot of things in our lives tell us is, like, life is good. Like, the economy isn't bad right now. But then why is there such a distance between how people are saying I should be experiencing the world and how I actually feel every day experiencing the world? And so I think it's when you can give a name to that, like, malaise, it's really useful. And it also, like, the thing people have said is, like, I feel seen or I feel less alone. And so that doesn't mean that, like, it's, like, excusing your behavior, if that makes sense. It's more that it's, like, trying to make sense of why you're behaving the way that you do. And when you do, it's, like, suddenly it's, like, a weight lifted. It's like, I brought my shoes to the cobbler yesterday because it's not a difficult task. I just wasn't, like, ashamed of it anymore.
How are you implementing these things into your own life?
Well, I think that, like I said before, there are things that were just very clarifying in giving it a name that liberated me to do the things that I really did want to do. And then another, like, small thing that I'm doing is just turning off the internet before I enter the bedroom. So I just put my phone on airplane mode. And that forces, I just read instead, like read an actual physical book. And not to try to win the book Olympics, but in order to just like be with a text, like have no other distractions or anything. And it feels great. Like it just feels very, like wholesome's the wrong word. It feels grounding. So that's just like a small thing. I don't know. Have you guys thought of anything?
I mean, I think that's been a big thing for both of us. I don't keep my phone in my room, in my bedroom.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But reading at night, I mean, I'm not participating on Twitter anymore. And that's been so helpful.
Wow. That's really great.
Twitter, it felt like I was starting to lose my mind. I was so addicted to it and it was so unhealthy and everything made me feel horrible about myself. And I couldn't quit it on my own. Like I've said this a lot on the podcast, but I had to give my husband my login info and have him change my password because even removing it from my phone, I would still be on it constantly on my computer. So anyway, that's helped, but I could still probably do that with every other social media app that exists. And yet I can't.
Right. You know, and like, you know, there are things that I talk about in the piece that like, I'm like, these things won't solve your burnout. But I do think that implementing some of them, like, they will help, right? Like, so things like having a timer on Instagram, like, makes me alert of the fact that, I spent 15 minutes. Because I don't want to spend more than 15 minutes on Instagram. So it's just, like, a nice little reminder. It's like, you know, you did this right already.
I just turned that on my phone, like, the limiting the screen time on apps. And it is helpful.
What I wanted to do is it to like disappear the app when I'm trying to turn
the
time on it.
So I think you might be able to set it. I have it set by category. So I have a limit on social media. And then once you exceed that limit, the app gets kind of like grayed out and a little like, hourglass timer thing shows up. And when you click on it, it says like you've exceeded your limit, and you can click ignore limit. And when you hit ignore limit, it gives you the option, remind me in 15 minutes or ignore limit for the rest of the day. And so what I've been doing is clicking remind me in 15 minutes and when I get reminded, I'm like, okay, now, you know, I'll go off of it. At least I'm more mindful of it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, and that's the thing, like, you know, when I say, like, that the Headspace app is not going to cure your mindfulness, like, I actually do think that meditating is really helpful. But the problem is when we think of it purely as, like, how can spending 5 minutes with this app make me more focused on my work during the day?
Right.
Then it's kind of missing the point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I kind of satirize in my novel, that these startups are just using meditation to like make their workers more productive.
Yes. Or even like, there's just small things in the workplace that are all meant, and you know this from BuzzFeed, like all meant to actually just make us more productive. Like, oh, they cater lunch to the office.
Yeah.
That's not because they like love us.
Totally.
Then we'll have our sad desk lunches and work more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, Anne Helen, this has been a joy.
Yeah, thank you for putting into word and text what so many of us have been struggling with.
Yeah. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Well, they can find me on Twitter. And I usually actually don't broadcast this to large groups of people. But because the Forever 35 audience my kind of audience, I also have a Facebook group that is called Celebrity Gossip Academic Style, and I have been running it for about 10 years, and it is mostly, like, it's not just Celebrity Gossip Academic Style anymore. It is just kind of cultural commentary and conversation, and it rivals the Forever 35 Facebook group as like one of my favorite non-toxic places on the internet.
Oh.
So it's not, not private. You can just find it and join it. We're there.
I can endorse it also. It's a great group.
Oh, I'm on Facebook right now looking it up. So
yeah, we didn't even touch on your whole life
As an academic
and an analyzer of celebrity gossip. So we'll have to have you back on.
Yeah, please come back to talk about celebrity gossip and self-care.
Please. Yeah. Well, thanks again. And
thank you.
Give Peggy our best.
I will. Three leg pegs. She's on Instagram too. Aww. all right. Well, thank you guys so much. This was a pleasure. This was my best interview.
All right. Sure.
Yay,
we did it.
We did it. Okay.
Thanks. Bye. So, Dory.
Yes, Kate.
Last week, you and your intention were really focused on this purge situation.
Oh, yes. I was focused.
And following through with it.
Yes. Well, my specific intention was that I wasn't going to keep things around because I thought I might sell them, that I was going to put a time limit on the stuff.
And how did that go? Did you do that?
So it's going well. I sold a bunch of stuff. I still have a pile of things that I'm going to try, and I'm going to do like one more round of trying to sell some stuff, and then it's going.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I donated, like I donated a lot of stuff that I think in the past I would have tried to hold on to and sell. So
good.
Yeah.
It will go to good use.
Thank you. Are you feeling rested?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yeah. I have been much better about getting back into my healthy sleep habits.
Mm.
My bedtime routine is going great. I've actually been using my travel humidifier on my bedside table.
Ooh. You know, I brought my travel humidifier to Vegas.
I brought mine to Palm Springs recently. It's the best.
It's the best.
It is truly the best.
Yeah.
And it's a great, like, if you don't want to have the huge, like, dripping humidifier spilling all over your bedroom,
mm-hmm.
just having it right there on your bedside table, I fill it every night. It's the easiest.
Yeah.
So I do feel like my bedtime routine has improved. My sleep has kind of been kooky.
Oh.
I told you I had a weird dream about you the other night.
Yeah, you sure did.
But you know what?
I mean, there were other people in the dream.
Yeah, it wasn't just you.
No.
It'll all fall into place.
Whole cast of characters.
Oh, man. There were just people making appearances left and right. That ex-boyfriend showed up. But I am feeling much better about, like, really, like, at 10 o'clock, I'm winding down. I'm washing my face.
Good.
I'm getting in bed and reading. And it's been, like, lights out at 11. So I feel good. Anyway, this week.
Yeah, what are you up to this week?
It's the most basic that I'm almost embarrassed by it. I am really bad at putting my clothes away.
Mm-hmm.
I am a almost 40-year-old woman who has piles of clothes on the floor like I'm a teenager.
Mm.
And not only does it like contribute to just the feeling of clutter and it's messy and it's not taking good care of the things that I own, it also like is not a good example for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want them to treat their things with respect.
Yeah.
And I want them to take care of their spaces and I'm not doing it. And I hate putting away laundry. I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And then, of course, when I do it, it takes like 10 minutes. And I'm like,
totally.
Why did I wait 6 days to put this pile of jeans away? Last night, I made myself do it and it felt great. And our bedroom was like noticeably cleaner. So I just feel
what
like
a great feeling.
Maybe at the end of the day, if I dedicated 5 minutes or something, I just want to implement like keeping a tidier space and starting with the very basic task of picking my clothes up off the floor.
I think you can do it.
I have faith in myself. Let's see where I am in a week.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I think you kind of inspired me.
Go on.
I mean, in many ways.
Oh, obviously.
But one of the ways in which you've inspired me is I think I would like to meal plan. Like this week, I want a meal plan. Feels good to cook. It's so much easier now that we have a dishwasher. The first couple of weeks we had it, I was like feeling weird about running it more than once a week. I was like, this is wasteful. You have to understand, we're only two people.
Fair.
Matt hardly eats at home.
That's fair.
So I was like, whoa. But now I'm like, oh, I can run it more than once
a week. Do you have an eco button on your dishwasher too that kind of uses
less
water?
I set it on auto sense, whatever, like it's supposed to sense how dirty and how full the dishwasher is.
Wow,
and like adjust accordingly.
Machine.
So I set it on that. It seems to work.
Great.
So it's not like I'm running it every day, but twice a week, I think is reasonable. And it really helps with cleanup when you actually cook, turns out.
Isn't it shocking how amazing they are?
It's like, I mean, I knew that they were great, but now I'm like, oh, this is so much nicer.
I know, it's hard. Once you go dishwasher, it's hard to go back.
Totally. Like, so I think I'm just feeling more motivated to meal plan, and I do feel better when I cook, and I feel better when I eat home cooked food. And so,
do you have any recipes that you want to put on the agenda, or any meals that you want to make?
Well, I might make some of the meals that I talked about last week.
They all sounded excellent.
Why, thank you. I think another challenge is not overcooking too much stuff. And I don't mean like cooking meat too long. I mean cooking like a huge vat of something, because I'm usually the only one eating it.
And then it goes to waste.
And then it's like, okay, unless I want to be eating this for lunch and dinner for the next 4 days, I probably don't need this massive pot of chili or whatever.
Totally.
So I need to sort of like regulate and figure out what is realistic for me to actually be eating. So, you know, I'll take a little adjusting, but I think I got this.
Oh, you definitely do. You're a great cook.
Oh, thank you.
Everything you always make when we bring our lunches to meetings or to recordings always looks so good. Oh, you were eating a noodle thing today that looked very tasty.
Oh, why, thank you. That brings us to the end.
That brings us to our closing sighs.
Indeed. Just a reminder that you can call us on our voicemail number, 781-591-0390. Leave us a voicemail for a mini episode. Our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can always join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast, using the password serums.
And if you like the show, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend. You can mention us on the social media outlet of your choice as well. We will greatly appreciate it.
And a friendly reminder, all products mentioned here on this podcast are always listed on our website, forever35podcast.com, including what we talked about today. And you can follow us on Instagram @forever35podcast and on Twitter @forever35pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shafrir, me, and Kate Spencer.
That's me. You.
And produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Lane Hammer is our assistant.
Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.
Bye.
Hey there, before we let you go, we wanted to remind you that our friends at prettylitter.com are offering listeners 20% off your first order with the promo code FOREVER35. Pretty Litter gets shipped right to your door in a small, lightweight bag, and it will last you the entire month. They're super convenient, it has next level odor control, and they don't use dusty clay. It's super absorbent crystals that trap and conceal odor with little to no mess. Again, to get 20% off your first order of Pretty Litter, go to prettylitter.com and enter promo code FOREVER35. That's prettylitter.com, promo code FOREVER35.